The Liverpool Telescope is the world's largest fully robotic telescope, and thanks to its schools programme, 5% of its time is offered to children, giving them a rare opportunity to make use of a world-class research facility in the classroom. Plans are afoot, however, to upgrade the telescope to an even larger 4-metre facility. Chris Copperwheat from Liverpool John Moores University talked at NAM about a feasibility study for the upgrade.
The Liverpool Telescope is quite a unique telescope. It's a telescope that's entirely robotic, and it's the largest robotic telescope in the world. It's got a 2-metre aperture. That's the size of the primary mirror. Robotic astronomy now is becoming more and more commonplace, but the Liverpool Telescope was something of a trailblazer in this regard. So with robotic observing, there is no observer at the telescope. There is no person watching it from Liverpool. There's a robotic software program that is entirely controlling the telescope. It decides when to open, it decides what to observe, and it decides when to close for weather or changes in conditions.
So I guess that saves you a lot of travel expense and so forth. But I gather it also helps you to get schools involved in working with the telescope.
Yeah. The schools program is something that's been a big part of it. 5% of Liverpool Telescope time is given to schools. It's run through an organisation called the National Schools Observatory. And we've served thousands of schools UK-wide. They can use the same telescope that professional astronomers use, collect data and look at it in their schools. And this has been a key part of our programme.
I guess you must need to guide the schools a fair bit as to what they could do with a telescope of that class that would be interesting to science.
Yes, there's all sorts of things we can do. The National Schools Observatory has a comprehensive website where it talks about the hows and the whys of observing. There's a training for teachers and this sort of thing. It's a thing that's extremely easy to get involved in, so I'd encourage any schools who are not part of that program currently to look at the National Schools Observatory website and see how they can get involved. We serve thousands of schools UK-wide, and we have the capacity to reach many more.
So what science are you doing with the Liverpool Telescope?
So the interesting thing about robotic observing, it's not just that it makes life easier for us, but it also enables research programs that wouldn't be possible with conventional observing. For example, let's say I'm looking at a star that's changing very slowly in brightness over timescales of months or years, and I just need a 5-minute observation of that star every 3 months, for example. That's something I couldn't do with a conventional telescope. I can't be flying backwards and forwards to the Canary Islands or Chile every few months. So with a robotic program, it can observe these things automatically for you and get this large data set. The other thing that robotic observing is very good for is things that happen very quickly, very violent, explosive events in the universe where you want to get on the target. The optical light from that emission is fading extremely quickly, so you want to get on there and capture the light as close to the initial explosion as possible. So this is an interesting part of science. Supernova science is quite fundamental and very important in all sorts of different areas of astronomy.
So this week you're talking about upgrading the Liverpool Telescope from 2 metres to 4 metres aperture. Mm-hmm. What can you do with that extra aperture?
Right, okay, so it's a big upgrade because you think in terms of area, you're going from 2 metres to 4 metres, that's a considerable increase in collecting area. So the thing is, the current Liverpool Telescope, a lot of the science it does is photometry. So this means it's measuring the brightnesses and the change in brightness of individual stars. There's a lot you can do with that. But as we move into the next decade or so, we're seeing more and more large telescopes dedicated to surveying the entire sky. Programs like PTF, SkyMapper, and the Americans are building a huge billion-dollar telescope called the LSST, and that's going to survey the entire sky, the entire southern sky, every few days. And so a lot of the photometry is going to be done by these very wide-field surveys, and they're also going to find a lot of these explosive transients, supernovae and so on. So the question is, what's our niche in the next decade? And our niche really is spectroscopy. This is when you look at the light from the star, split it up with a dispersing element, and look at the composition. And this is a route where you can really do some fundamental science because you can understand the physics and the composition of the object you're looking at. And spectroscopy, because of the way it splits up the light, it really demands a larger aperture to look at the brighter targets. Sorry, the targets of the same brightness. So while we do some spectroscopy with our current 2-metre telescope, we're limited to bright targets. With a 4-metre aperture, we'll be able to really do spectroscopy on a huge range of objects and all the objects that are going to be discovered by these new surveys.
And I guess it's incredible that you will be putting a really, truly research-class telescope in the hand of school kids a lot of the time.
Yes, this is true, yeah. I mean, the educational programme has been incredibly important to the success of LT, and we think it's something that's fundamental to the mission. So not only will we anticipate there'll be some time available on LT2 for schools, we're also hoping to really expand the amount of time that's available for schools on the LT. So this will enable schools to do a wider range of projects, and we'll be able to reach more schools in the UK and Europe-wide.
And what stage are you at with LT2? Are you still trying to find funding, for example?
Yes, I mean, I joined the Liverpool Group in September to begin a two-year feasibility study that's been funded by the university. So we're now about 9 months into that process. So we're at the point where we've established the science case. We know the type of science we want to do with the telescope, and we've been talking about concepts like the design, site. A 4-metre telescope is an expensive piece of kit, and we will need partnerships. We'll need partnerships with both other academic groups in the UK and further afield.
When you say expensive, how expensive are we talking?
Probably the ballpark figure, you're talking about maybe 20 million, you know, plus or minus 5 million, I'd say.
So I guess that's quite a bit, but by the standards of astronomical projects, that's not a huge amount, is it?
Well, this is true, yeah. You look at things like the ELT, which will cost €1 billion. You look at things like LSST, I mentioned, which will cost $1 billion. It's not on that sort of scale. And it's quite interesting. You can do an awful lot of science with this class of telescope, and it's also very cost-effective. If you actually look at the cost of telescopes and the cost per paper that you get out of that telescope, the 4-metre class really is very efficient in producing good science.
And I gather one of the key features of the Liverpool telescope is that it can move across the sky very quickly. Why is that so important?
Yeah, so this is it. So you get a rapid response with the telescope, not just from the fact that it's robotic and automatic in that sense, but also the design of the telescope, the enclosure. It leads itself to a very sort of rapid flew across the sky. Upon detection by, say, the SWIFT gamma ray burst satellite, when it detects a gamma ray burst, we can be on that gamma ray burst and following up the optical light within a minute to 2 minutes. And this is very important because the afterglows, the optical light from something like a gamma ray burst, fade extremely quickly. So in some sense, a slew speed even trumps aperture in this case in terms of collecting numbers of photons, although ideally you want both. You want a larger aperture and you want a rapid slew speed. This is something that's been a core strength of the Liverpool telescope. It's so fast to get on target that the gamma ray burst science has been something that's been really productive for the LT. And this is something we want to continue with LT2. We want to slew even faster. This is a technical challenge. As you build a bigger telescope, it becomes harder to slew across the sky. But our hope is that we could build a nimble and agile robotic telescope that could get on a new detection within a few tens of seconds.
And if it does get the go-ahead, when might it be taking observations?
Our aim would be to have science first light in the early part of the next decade, so 2020, 2021, something like that. The reason for that time span is it fits really well with all the other projects that are going ahead, things like LSST. I've not talked about radio, but SKA is something else that we might follow up. And we should be seeing the next generation of gamma ray burst satellites at the beginning of the next decade. So it really works well with all these other programs that will be feeding us targets, and we can get sort of complementary information from space satellites and other ground-based facilities at other wavelengths.
My thanks to Chris Copperwheat from Liverpool John Moores University.